Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Okay, John 16, let's just go to the first part of the chapter here. These saints have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that they doeth God service. I'm going to talk to you a little bit between some of these things, and we're going to go on down in this chapter a ways. But you know, we could look back into the time that these things were written. We could think about Brother Paul, the great Apostle Paul. And we could think about him, thought he was doing God a service. Not too much difference in the time that these things were inscribed. And we could think about him thinking he was doing God a service, seeking after the Christian people. I mean, this was a man that was in the synagogues daily. This was a man that had given. As a Pharisee, he said the chiefest of them all. But here, a man that thought he was doing his God a service, seeking after the church, the Christian people, to put him to death. So when we read these things, a lot of times, you know, we think now over at the end. So oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we fail to change the covenant. I spoke with you in times past about Cain and Abel. And about Cain came and he was offering something from a previous covenant that wasn't sufficing the Lord. You know, you think, but God, I brought my first fruit to you. I brought you, you know, these things that I've tilled the ground and I've done this and I've brought it to you. But see, that covenant would no longer suffice. It had to be one with shed blood. Because if you would look at the things that took place and it happened there, you think, but why, Lord? See, this is the same thing, and I could go into some thoughts and some speaking this morning about people that take and say, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Wash me with your blood and cleanse me. I'm not making light of that, brothers and sisters. I understand how to pray, but sometimes we're in the wrong covenant. We're pleading the blood of Jesus for willful sin and asking the Lord, you know, hey, you know, forgive me, Lord. God, see, we're pleading in the wrong covenant. We're in the spirit now, and there's most definitely a difference how he deals with the children in this covenant. Amen. Most definitely difference, brothers and sisters. And if we don't subject ourselves to the way he deals with us in this covenant, we miss the Lord. But as we switch, brothers and sisters, when we switch and we think in a covenant of the spirit world, and we think of one of the blood world, and when we go back and we look at, they would literally take, as we find Stephen looking up towards heaven, declaring that he's looking into the heavenlies and seeing God. But then yet, there was literally, brothers and sisters, in a physical dimension that a man lost his life. We look at the Lord Jesus, yes, it isn't a symbolic thing, or it isn't some kind of thing as a figurative statement. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and his blood was spilled, and the blood was shed, and he literally gave up the ghost. So we understand these things, but when we switch over, so many times we read the scriptures and we don't realize that these things are taking place in our midst in a different dimension or a different covenant, so to speak. You realize that you could put people to death this day and they still walk among the earth. They still got breath going in and out their lungs. They're still walking, but you have literally put them to death. And you stand before the living God as a murderer. You see, in the covenant of the blood covenant, they would take a woman out and they would stone her to death, found in the act of adultery, and they would take and put him to death. You see, but in this day, if a man has the love for the world, he's committed adultery before the Lord. What is the punishment? You see, but we look at God in this dispensation of grace where he's got these things covered. For he can continue to deal with humanity that they can learn to grow and change and grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But see, we get and we thinking in another time, another dispensation, and we think this is the way God is. And we get to thinking of God in this dispensation of grace and his mercy. They talk about this God of old that was a God of wrath. They talk about this God of old, one that brought judgment, one that demanded holiness, purity, and righteousness. I mean, think of the high priest. If he wasn't right when he entered into the Holy of Holies, they say that they put little bells around his robe. And if the man wasn't right with God and entered the Holy of Holies, he would just, spirit would leave him. And if they didn't hear the bells jingling, they'd have a rope tied around their foot that they could drag him out of there. And we're talking about a priest. Where is this God? Where is this God that we read about that's the same today, the same yesterday, and the same forever? And we get blinded in part. We get blinded in intellectual darkness and blindness and human reasoning. And we don't see, we don't perceive, nor understand, nor comprehend God. And then we find ourselves being guilty of what the scripture says about turning the grace of God to lasciviousness. We find ourselves guilty, brothers and sisters, of believing a lie and being damned. We find ourselves guilty so many times, brothers and sisters, of lightly esteeming the word of God and the things of God. And we've created another God, an unknown God, a false God. But again, back to this particular scripture, they put you to death. Even though you might still walk, you might still speak, but they've put you to death with their doctrines, with their word. I was dealing with a minister not many days back, supposed to be a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost. And all I found was this intellectual darkness looming over his mind. And he wanted to project himself as such a bright light and such an understanding. Just so foolish. I made a statement to him. I said, if God is three persons and the Holy Ghost is a person, then you're telling me that I have this person dwelling in me. Simplistic. So simple. Oh, he says, well, you'll never understand it. He said, because God takes the impossible things and makes them possible. You know, there's what we've done. We've taken and twisted the word of God to believe a lie and be damned is what we've done. And I say, well, it's Catholic doctrine, you know, and Catholic doctrine is what he's preaching. Oh, yeah, he's a Pentecostal preacher. Oh, yes, he speaks in tongues. Oh, yes, he gets people together. Yes, he's been through theological training in there, but he's still a Catholic. Two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. Still a Catholic. You see, we got to be careful what we submit to, what we agree to, what we walk with, what we hear, what we listen, because we number ourselves in agreement so oftentimes with things. Things that ain't pure, things that aren't clean, things that ain't godly, things that aren't holy. This is why I can't walk with many things, because I number myself with them. I'm not so religious that I can't go amongst them to bring the word just as Jesus did. He might go amongst them to bring the word, but he don't go amongst them just to fellowship with them. He came and looked for the opportunity to speak and bring the word of life. And if you find the recordings through his word, that's what he did when he came amongst them. He spoke the word because they were sick and they needed a physician. He didn't just go in and fellowship with them, walk with them, eat with them. He didn't do that. If he thought that for sure that he couldn't have opened his mouth, he never would have stepped foot in there. And if I find that I can't speak when I go in the midst of those things and speak some genuine words of power and light, I got no business being there, because that's the only reason I'd go there, is to bring forth a word from the Lord. Amen. Back to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, back to the first verse there. We'll start again. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, if these are three-person God, what would have been wrong with both of them appearing at the same time? You ever think about that? What would have been the problem? Like Jesus thought, well, hey, I'm going back now, but hold, you know, I'm going to wait until this third part of the Godhead comes. I'm going to wait for him to come, and then I could go. You see, there's a very simple reason for that. Because they're one and the same, except through the mind of differentiation. We'll find the Spirit of God. The Father went into the mold and said the purpose of that was what? To mold a thought. To mold a comprehension, a thought, that we can understand God. It molded a thought because it come into something that we could see, something that we could comprehend and understand in the dimension of man. And it was for one thing to mold a thought. So, what is the Comforter for today? Is it any different? Think about it. Is it any different? And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin. Let's talk about Holy Ghost-filled ministers. Okay, here we go again. But let me talk about Joel Osteen a minute. This preacher I was talking to yesterday said, well, he's half right. He's right. He is half right. But who wants to be half right? Hey, I took my math test today and I was half right. I got 50%. 50% is a failing grade, isn't it? Man, I'm half right. I want to be all the way right. But he's half right when he talks about God, the mercies of God, the love of God, the grace of God. God loves everybody, da, da, da. You know, he's half right. But here, again, it says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Who are we talking about? Who comes? The Holy Ghost. If it's no longer supposed to be the man of God speaking or the man speaking, but God speaking, who is it? The Holy Ghost. And what does the Holy Ghost do? He reproves the world of sin. So when they come and walk among men and they're not reproving them of sin, and they're not exposing sin and preaching against sin, it's simply saying one thing, isn't it? They don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not complicated, is it? And you know, like, why do you have to desecrate, so to speak, a big ministry like Joel Osteen to bring a point like that across? Because this is what the religious world's looking at as their peers. So if we don't find the world being reproved of sin, we could say that the Holy Ghost isn't there. Would that be a safe assumption here this morning? I would think so. Verse 8 again, it says, and when he come, he will reprove the world of sin. So who's he? The Holy Ghost. Where is he at now? He's dwelling in me. Where's he at? He should be dwelling in you. If he is dwelling in you, it's reproving the world of sin. Where's the world? The world is your outer part, your fleshly man, your fleshly thoughts. And he should be continually reproving it of sin to get the sin out, and that he could live and dwell and remain there, that you could endure forever and ever. Amen. Of sin because they believe not on me. So we find a sin of unbelief. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So we find the work of the Holy Ghost here. We got to bring judgment to this garment of iniquity. We got to bring judgment to the things of this world. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, not half truth. So then the thing is, we're going to see the Holy Ghost ministering through, yes, a man. We're going to hear him speak. We're going to hear him reprove and turn people away from sin. The Bible said if they preach any other gospel than what the Lord Jesus Christ, we let him be accursed. What's accursed? We say, well, Jesus was cursed. He said anything that hangeth on a tree, it was that fleshly part, and it received the curse for you and I. So we got to make sure we keep our differentiation of thought correct and accurate when we start thinking like this. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, I will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Wonder how much time that's going to be before he speaks plainly. It says, in that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? But this we believe, that thou camest from God. Jesus answered them, do ye believe? Behold, the hour cometh, Yea, is now come. But ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he says, in the world we have tribulation. In him we have peace. What a perfect time to speak about that is right now. Brothers and sisters, we look into the radio waves of this world. We look into the religious realms of this world. We look into the television broadcast and the news medias and the things of this world. And we see a travail. We see brothers and sisters in everywhere that we look. Everywhere that we look. Everywhere that we look, we see instability. We see a shaking. When these saints that I've wrote about the judgment to America and the things coming to America and all the things, it's like, wow, man, let's just sell everything we got. Man, let's get out of here. You think, well, I don't think that way. Well, I do. Pray for me. Man, I'd like to pack up and get out of this godforsaken nation called United States of America. And guess what I did? I did that. I'm done, gone. I'm out of here. You'd be looking for a rapture. I'd done made it. Done got out of here. But on the other hand, we go to the scriptures, we go to the word, and we look and we see that judgment come to nations and lands and people and countries. And God would take his people and move them. Put Joseph over there that he could build up a place to even sustain life to Egypt and to his family. So you look at types and you look at shadows and you look at allegories and you think, well, man, maybe that's the thing to do is go. Well, where do you go? There's only one place to go to escape the corruption of this world. And that's heaven. There may be a land out here somewhere, brothers, sisters, got a little more morals, a little more understanding. You might find yourself and go to a Muslim country to find holiness. You say, ah, man, I don't see that, Brother Rob. Well, I see that they demonstrate it much more so than Americans do. They keep their woman walking around with a veil over their face. They don't want them projecting their image, but over here, we as the men are pushing the women into careers, pushing the women into leadership, pushing the women to run the country. Maybe we'd be better off to go sit in a Muslim nation where the woman takes the place. They're not projecting themselves, their image. They're not doing those things. Does it make it right? No, but at least they got some understanding possibly where we, as supposed to be the Christians, don't have any understanding whatsoever at all. And I say that very carefully because I know a Christian has the unction from the Holy One to know all things and walks in the Spirit of God. I understand that when a man's full of the Holy Ghost, that he's putting sin out, that he's a conqueror, and that he's pushing the things out of his life. You see, we just read how we know when the Holy Ghost has come. Even though the Pentecostal church world has taken this Holy Ghost and made it into an experience of speaking in tongues, speaking a language that you never spoke before, and this spirit just going through you, and this is what they've made the Holy Ghost to be. What deception, what a lie. Just like they take this baptism in water, and they take it down to just some kind of a religious concept and don't take the realities of the remission of sin and the authority and the power that has been given by the Holy Ghost and by the Spirit of God to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to take them and to be obedient to the word and submerge them, that they could be buried in a watery grave and come forth as a new creature. You see, they don't take the strength to those things and they water it down. They offer a covenant that isn't accepted any longer. Okay, here we are in chapter 17. Go back again. I challenge you, go back and read 16 again and think about it and apply it to yourself. Sometimes we apply it over here, we apply it over there. Was the minister full of the Holy Ghost? If the minister is or isn't full of the Holy Ghost is one thing, but it's really another thing when you're not. The minister could be lost and predestined to eternal damnation and you be full of the Holy Ghost and you're okay. But what if the minister's full of the Holy Ghost and you're not? This is why we read these scriptures and we examine ourselves, see if we be in the faith. And we look for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. This is a promise of God. And we look for the manifestations in our life. How do I know I'm full of the Holy Ghost? I wish it was simply just speaking in tongues. Because you could go partake of the world and be in the world with the love of the world and the lust of the world and the pride of life and all those things. Man, you could come into the house of God. Don't even have to wait to get into the house of God. You could pray in tongues all the way to the house of God and not have the Holy Ghost. Don't think I'm speaking lightly about speaking in tongues, brothers and sisters. Paul addressed, he said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. but he was also rendering an understanding there that you can comprehend what the importance is. You might speak in tongues and speak in tongues and speak in tongues, but you have not charity, it profits you nothing. You might understand the mysteries. You might be able to go and take and unveil all the mysteries, talk about the mysteries and all this, and have not charity, it profits you nothing. You could tell me the deep mysteries and the deep mysteries and the deep mysteries and have not charity, you're nothing. What is charity? Go read about it in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. It esteems others greater. But when you always measuring everybody out by you and your understanding and what you've heard, you can't have the Holy Ghost in that kind of way. When you're continually finding fault and judging and judging and judging and judging out of some kind of a self-lifted up mind that you're better and perceive yourself to be better than others, you can't have the Holy Ghost. And when you don't have the Holy Ghost, the thoughts that you're speaking forth were a reflection of another brother or another man or another minister, and you're speaking those thoughts, you're speaking forth pollution because you've polluted it with your mind of understanding. And you've taken something that was pure and clean and you've brought it forth and polluted what you think you heard, what you think you know, because of uncleanness. When a man's full of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, he meets the requirements of this Bible. He esteems others greater. He walks in love, walks in the Spirit, considering his brother greater and encouraging them. And if he sees one overtaken in the fall, he goes to them and helps them up and encourages them to walk in the gospel. And when others just choose to walk in the world with the things of the world, they don't walk with them. You see, if I walk with people, I got a brother that's not in church today, hadn't been with us for weeks. I love him. He's a dear brother to me. He's a friend. But then yet, I can't walk with him. You know, why don't you call me? Why don't you fellowship with me? Why don't you go to do this with me or go do that? You know, like this, I can't. Because if I walk with him, I receive the sin because it numbers me with him. Because not in church. A man of God or a man that's got the Holy Ghost is in church. Listen to me. A man that's got God's spirits in church because he wants to worship the Lord. And it's a place for him. And he knows that if it offends his brother to eat meat, he don't eat meat. And he knows that in the Bible says that we don't forsake the assembling together. That we are faithful. You know why a man full of the Holy Ghost will be in church? Is because he's an example. See, we need to be sensitive, brothers and sisters. What are people reading? What kind of epistle are we? Boy, we've talked about this. These words spake Jesus, chapter 17, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. We can get into some talk on predestination now if you'd like. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and they may be one as we are. You need to understand this. It's not complicated. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you ever wonder why I asked that? You see, brothers and sisters, we have a vision here and a reason for being here. Wouldn't it have been easy if one day we said, Oh, Jesus, I love you. I accept you as my God, my King, my Savior. You are my Lord, my God, my salvation. You are everything to me. And you're gone. You're out of here. Paul said it was better for him to stay. It was better for him. He said, you know, to die, speaking in the people's terminology, to die would be gain to him, he said. but it would be a loss for them. You see, he knew the importance of the Holy Ghost-filled life still being in the earth. He saw that Jesus had a fulfillment to walk on earth. He understood the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Christ. He saw the purpose of him walking amongst the earth, that he could glorify us with the same glory which he had with his Father before the world ever was. And he realized that, and now that he had given us the glory, that we could walk in the earth to glorify his name, amen? And when we bring glory to his name, then it brings this same spirit that dwelled within him, and we in him, and he in us. And we, when we put this whole perspective together, is the purpose. See, Paul understood that very clear. He saw that. It was revealed to him. He understands the things of God. Jesus right here is speaking, brothers and sisters, trying to unveil to these brethren and trying to show exactly what is taking place. It's the same now, brothers and sisters. It is no different. It says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. If thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I'm asking you to read this in a present day understanding. You could read about why he did what he did, but what about why we do what we do? Is it any different today than it was then? Why would he sanctify himself? He says right here, why would we walk in holiness? Why would we walk in purity? Why would we walk in righteousness? Do we do it to earn salvation? No. We do it that others could see salvation, understand salvation, comprehend salvation. Verse 19 again, it says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. For I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, that I am in them. Now let's talk about Jesus now walking among men, speaking this to the disciples. So here we go, looking at things chronologically, we could say. We could see and say, well, Brother Rob, I understand, brother, the importance of the Son of Man walking amongst the world. I understand the importance of Jesus came to walk among men to show us the glory of God and the power of God and the power of salvation. And you say, I understand that. But let me tell you something here that you could take and make this word void and null and of no effect in your life. Because the very words that he is speaking here, the very words that Jesus is speaking here to disciples is the very same spirit is speaking now. You think too highly of yourself. No, I'm thinking highly of him. I'm telling you what he said. Well, who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am. It's who I know that I am in him. You say, well, again, you might use the expression, well, I think you're thinking too highly of yourself. I'm so high, I'm caught away with him, hid away with him. You can't see me where I'm at. You can't even know me where I'm at unless you know him and he's in you and you in me and I'm in you. And you say, I don't see that. I'm telling you this, brothers and sisters, that we need to understand the written word here. We need to understand the spirit of this written word. We need to understand what is being said here, what the importance is. When you stand in the midst of these people of this world, do you speak to them like he spoke to us? Do you stand to the people of this world? Can you declare these things as he spoke them? Can you say, you know, my Father sent the Word, His Son, and He walked among men. And now He sent the Spirit to me, and He's in me, and I'm in Him. And the same Spirit that Jesus was in and manifested and walked among men, the same Spirit is dwelling in me, and I'm about the Father's business. And if you want the Holy Ghost, if you want the Spirit life, if you want the power, you need to be in Him and Him in you. They didn't understand God when He walked among them, did they? Nobody here could contest the fact that Jesus is God. Emmanuel, God with us, walked among men, manifested, you know, among men, spoke to us the things of heaven, spoke to us the things of God, the power of God, and done that. And we say, man, praise God. It's no different today. You say, well, that's where I have a problem, Brother Rom. I don't see God. And I said, maybe we need to get the altars open for you and come into the altars that we could lay hands on you, that your eyes will open up. Well, you might think, Brother Rob, that if I got to see God in you, and if I can't see God in you, then I don't know God. And I say, yeah, you just come to a beautiful revelation. And you say, well, you're esteeming yourself. No, I'm not. I'm esteeming myself already in Him and Him in me. And if it's not me speaking and it's Him speaking, then the thing is you got to be careful what you reject. They did the same thing with Jesus, man. You know, man, you eat amongst these people. Why, you know, if you're who you say, why are you walking amongst these people? Why you eat with these people? Why did you eat that food without washing your hands? Same thing. No difference. They found fault with Him too. Well, He was God. Yeah, but He was different than you, Brother Rob. He is. He's different than me. When I'm in Him and He's in me. I remember Brother Pike using an example. He said, you put iodine in a glass of water and you shake it up, man. He said, somebody separate that now. It's hard to divide the soul and the spirit, but it takes a sharp two-edged sword to do that. To some without the two-edged sword, they could seem and appear to be miles apart, but then yet they're so close together. These are the things of God. Sometimes it depends on where you stand and how you look at them. I don't stand before you in my own righteousness, brothers and sisters, nor my own glory, because I have none. But He gave me His glory. You see, He gave me His righteousness. He gave me His Spirit. He gave me His power. See, I don't stand within the midst of you in my own power. I don't have no power, brothers and sisters, within my first birth as a man. But I stand before you testifying to the Word of God that this Word and these things that were spoken weren't of some vain glory or some idle words or something for Him to esteem Himself as somebody. This is the Word of the Most High God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is the Word of the expression of the invisible God that spoke all things into an existence and made all visible and all invisible things. This is Him expressing Himself to humanity and to mankind, saying, this is the great things that I've done for you. And He said, I've given you my glory. I've given you my Spirit. I've given you my power. I've given you life and everything that pertains unto life. I've given you strength. I've given you authority, the ability to overcome and to conquer. He is showing the awesomeness of what He's given unto us. And as this minister said the other day, speaking of another minister, he said, well, he's only got half of a right. So all I could do is declare unto you that he evidently did not understand what we just read here. Because he didn't say he'd give us half. He'd give us everything that pertaineth unto life. And you say, well, Brother Rob, something you don't understand is that it comes only by measure. You know, he said, man, and Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Spirit dwelt with Him. And it comes to you by measure. Well, you could limit yourself. That's okay. And I understand that. But my calling and my drive, brothers and sisters, to press towards that perfect man, Christ Jesus, press to perfection, press to revelation, press to understanding, press to conquer, press to know more. And I'm not pressing for some intellectual concept that I could quote somebody or something or quote what they said. I want to demonstrate the life that they spoke about. It's okay to talk about what this one did or that one did. Or I could take you to Hebrews and talk about the great men of faith over the years. That's good to inspire me. But I know that God is the same to every generation. And He's the same, brothers and sisters, that we need the demonstration of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Not talking about the concepts of thought. Not talking about the great things that He's done or the great things that He's going to do. We need to walk in the authority, walk in the power, walk in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's what we must do if we have eternal life. We can't talk about having His Spirit and keep it hid under a veil. You know, when we say we're Christians, brothers and sisters, what made you a Christian is because you received His Spirit. It means you're Christ-like. The term Christianity has lost its strength in your nation. Everybody's a Christian today. You know that? Everybody is. We're a Christian nation. Don't forget that. America. With a Muslim leader. All you got to do is watch. If you want to see the darkness unveiled, We talk about the light, the glorious light, the power of the gospel, but we're in a day and hour of darkness. If you don't perceive or understand the darkness, just follow after the leader of this nation that's leading them into gross darkness. Just follow after it. You see a compromiser, an appeaser, going to start giving away more and more strength. Don't you know that when you tell your enemy that you're going to start pulling back your strength, he's not going to turn on his power and start killing and doing those things that might make you change your mind. He'll say, yeah, go ahead, peace, peace. Go ahead and pull your strength back. Go ahead and get your troops out of our country. Go ahead and get your troops out of our land, for we could really get ourselves pulled together. Right now they've got them somewhat pushed back because of the presence of power there. If we think America's a Christian nation and we look to America to find the mind of Christ in Christianity, America's gone. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. It's vomit. So much greed, so much power. They open their mouth, they're liars. All they want to do is tell you what you want to hear, for you could put them in office, and all they want is their own greedy admiration and gains. All this is for the Lord is allowing you to see that you could make sure that you have totally separated yourself and not numbered yourself with this world and with the people of this world and the cultures of this world, the mind of this world, the thoughts of this world, the things of this world. You've got to totally come out of this world and be a separate. When you say separate from stuff, that means you're not still part of it. You are separate, a separate people. You are not of this. When you find yourself offended and you find yourself trying to defend the political powers and the political things and the things of this world, it's because you've got part of the world in you and the love of this world in you. You got to get out of it. The educational systems is perverted and filthy and defiled. Well, Brother Rob, we started speaking here talking about the Holy Ghost and about recognizing the Holy Ghost. Well, brothers and sisters, you can also recognize this son of perdition that we read about here too. And he's manifesting himself. The spirits are the same. We got to learn to identify what spirit people are of. The Bible said they have them on their lips, but their heart's far from them. If your mamas talk about Jesus, but you can't see it in their actions, in their lifestyle, in the way they do. Fathers, listen to me. Husbands, listen to me. You say you got God's spirit, and you talk to your wife like some kind of a dog and scream and yell. I'm just here to let you know you ain't got the spirit of God. You say, well, I can't receive that. You better start receiving it before you can find it. Because when you think you got something, you don't got anything. But you better start learning to get on your knees and seeking after God. A man full of the Holy Ghost doesn't speak disrespectful to his wife. Even when she's in error, there's a proper way to deal with the error. And you lead them in love and guide them in love. You don't scream and yell and call them names. A man that calls his wife a name, that man ain't got the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? You know, we want to start talking about defining the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost is. Let's define the Holy Ghost by bringing him alive in our lives. Let's define the Holy Ghost by letting his light shine in this world. Let's define the Holy Ghost by putting sin out of our lives. When you make allowances for flesh and your lifestyle and your admiration and you're to be somebody and something and you don't walk into the Word and you want to say you got the Holy Ghost? Come on, man, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is a spirit of obedience. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of demonstration. It is the spirit of power, brothers. He said, it's expedient that I go back to sin back, that you would be endued with what? Power. How are your children going to see what the power of the Holy Ghost is? Are they going to see an invisible green mist floating around in a room and say, ooh, there's the power of God? We get so religious in ideologies and things, and we, well, you know, praise God, you know, for the time I spoke in tongues. Thank God for that. Not lightly esteeming those things. But brother said, we better find out what power is. You see, we have the power to discern good and evil. We have the power to find when things are defiled. When something's unclean and something's defiled, God is gracious enough to us to let it manifest. When you see a tongue moving, a tongue speaking, you should be discerning, what voice am I hearing? Is this man's thoughts? Is this woman's thoughts? Is this the mind of God? Is this the spirit of revelation? What is this? We're in a world in America is a victim mentality. Everybody has a victim mentality. Everybody. Are you listening? Everybody's trained in a victim mentality. Well, the reason I can't get my bearings, the reason I got this problem, because my mama was no good. You know, the reason I can't do this, and the reason that my daddy was no good. You're inexcusable. Your mom and daddy ain't no excuse for you. My heavenly Father, my God, is pure, clean, and holy. I'm inexcusable. He gave me a spirit. We just read about it here. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us His spirit. His spirit's pure. His spirit's clean. His spirit's virtuous. His spirit's righteous. We're inexcusable. See, so many times we want to make excuses for our weaknesses and for our failures, and we don't have none. We say, my God has given me the power and everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. I've got all authority and all power to put things under my feet. Can drugs hold, Brother Rob? Can tobacco hold, Brother Rob? Can alcohol hold, Brother Rob? Can lust hold, Brother Rob? Can perversion hold, Brother Rob? No, I've got authority and power over those things, and when I submit to those things, I'm submitting to the weakness of the flesh, and I believe in a lie. And I need to exercise authority. So we find ourselves saying, well, you know, I do good most of the time. I do okay, you know, I pray and I get doing all right and I help this one, I do this and that, so it's okay. And we think that we've got these balances, you know, like, wait a minute, the good scale's going over here pretty good. So let me go over here and sow a little wild seed. You know, wait a minute, I better go back over here. It don't work that way. And that's so void to the scriptures and to the word. When we do evil, all of the goodness is forgotten about. When we do good, all the evil's forgotten about. Well, I hope the last breath I take, I was doing good, you might say. It don't work that way either. We need to pray for the spirit of revelation. We need to pray for the understanding of God. I made a statement a few days back. I said I wouldn't for 5 million, 5 billion, 500 million for this whole world. Listen to me. For no amount of money would I say, God, take your spirit away from me for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Just take it away for 5 minutes. I got pretty good odds that the world's not going to end in 5 minutes. So, you know, I can say, oh, God, give it back, give it back. But what happens if he pulled his spirit away from me for that 5 seconds and the deceptive powers of Satan come and stepped into me with his deception? We're talking the whole world's deceived. All of United States of America and all the people of this country and around the world are deceived. So what makes me think that maybe that 5 seconds or 5 minutes that God stepped out, that the deceptive powers of Satan could come and deceive my mind and I would believe a lie? And then all of a sudden after the 5 minutes I pray in the tongue or I say this and I say anything. Oh man, praise God. Now I've got $5 million and I still got God, but I could be deceived. Isn't that a scary thought? Don't sell your birthright. Be full of the Holy Ghost. The promises given to you and your children and your children's children. Receive ye the promises of the spirit world, the spirit of God. You see, brothers and sisters, we're coming to a place and to an age that we have to start analyzing things by the mind of Christ and the mind of Revelation, not in some critical, self-righteous, religious mindset. You know you've passed from death and life because you love the brethren. If you don't see the love for brotherhood within a man's bosom, he cannot have the Holy Ghost. You realize that when you see brethren, yes, you might see their shortcomings, might see their stumblings and staggerings, we may say, but you love them. Because you have the God Spirit. Somebody said, Brother Rob, something I don't understand is how the scriptures say that you esteem a brother greater than yourself. This conversation came up not long ago. How do you esteem this guy that is a no good coward, sissified pervert, ain't got enough God to walk above reproach, now slopping around in the slop holes and stuff. Now how can you say that in Christianity that I got to esteem him better than myself? He said, I don't understand that. How could I look at some scumbag off scouring trash and esteem him better than myself? I do it all the time. You know why? Because I'm more concerned, instead of my ways or me just doing my thing and this and that, I'm more concerned for him. I've esteemed him better to reach down and to love him and to help him, to indoctrinate him, to teach him, to lead him and to guide him. See, I'm esteeming him better than my own desires, my own wants. My desires say, man, you ain't nothing but a scumbag. Now we're talking like a man, ain't we? Don't even get in my way. I don't even smell your whiskey breath. See, that's the way a man would talk. But no, I esteem him better than myself. Let me help you up. Let me help you. Let me pick you up. Let me tell you that Jesus loves you. Let me tell you that he can give you his spirit and the power to overcome this disease that you've got of alcoholism. He can give you the authority and the power to put those things under your feet and you can walk upright in pure cleanness and holiness. You can overcome this disease. You can overcome this sickness. You can overcome this demon. You see, I'm esteeming him greater than myself. Because myself would say, man, I'm not going to give you the time of day. We have to understand. I'm more concerned for his soul. And when I start showing concern for his soul, mine's being saved and been saved. When I start showing that I'm seeking his well-being more than my own. You see, sometimes we get in our own agendas and we're doing our own thing. We're seeking after our own world, our own gains, our own finances, our own provisions. And we'll leave a man like that laying on the side of the road. Because we're seeking after our own. But when we take time to seek after his well-being and something like that, then God adds it to us. And we find ourselves living in the house of plenty because we're concerned for somebody else to have those things. So every time you see a drunk on the side of the road, you do something? Well, you want me to confess or repent? or say, oh me. No, I don't, because there's sometimes that when I go there to help, I find the Lord says, don't throw the pearls to the swine. Well, see, Brother Rob, I don't understand now. You know, you've used an example, man. I've seen, I'm checking my spirit and considering and saying, oh my. In this conversation with the preacher yesterday, I shared, I was going down to a homeless shelter and working with the people in the homeless shelter, and the Lord reproves me. You say, well, you know, I'm not sure then. If I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure if I understand. Brothers and sisters, when you see a man that's down and out and cast down, his world dissolved and came to an end, that one might be the one that you could pick up and he could receive the infilling of God's Spirit and do something. But it's the one that keeps coming into the shelter every night and hears God's Word. And he hears it and says, yeah, give me some more food. Yes, give me some more drink. Yes, make me another bed for me to stay. And they're out the next day and they're out there rolling in the vomit. And they're out there taking their government checks and their welfare and their finances and their money, and they're drinking, they're snorting, they're smoking, they're cheating in their life. You just become adverse to willful sin. This is why we have discernment. There's a time, brothers and sisters. There's a time that you could stand the wrath of God for walking by one, and there's a time that you help one, you still stand the wrath of God. Well, that's why we have discernment. You need to be cautious. You need to be careful. You might drive by one and look at him and think, well, you worthless human being, you sorry, worthless individual of a human being, and you'd be speaking against the body of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible said there's many sick and afflicted among you because you don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Rob? I said we need to walk in discernment. Stand with me this morning. Brothers and sisters, the things I say to you this morning are to examine yourself, to consider, see if you be in the faith. Yes, we need to make considerations for others and esteem others greater. We need to be looking for others' well-being before we seek after our own. And when we start doing that, we'll find God moving in our midst. You're standing in a nation that's getting ready to shake from the very innermost fibers of it. The things that made this nation strong are going to crumble before your eyes, and you're going to see the towers coming down representing the financial institutions of America, and America's, the strength that it's standing on is going to crumble before you. The military strength of America is going to crumble before you. They put their pride and their strength, and they've made a reproach all around this world with their arrogance and haughtiness of being a strong nation. They flaunted it around the world, and it's coming down, their military powers and strength. It won't take long. This nation ain't geared for what's in store for America. It's not geared for it. The people don't know how to motivate nor plan in adversity because they haven't had any on their soil. They're not ready for it, brothers and sisters. They're not ready. The two towers came down and shut down almost this nation. The workforce, everything just seemed like, wow, I can't believe this has happened. 3,000 people died in our country. 3,000 people, 3,600 people, I believe. And it just shut this nation down. 3,600 people's nothing compared to what's going to face America. And you say, Brother Rob, you've been talking a lot about this. I know I'm trying to make sure that you're separating from it, from its dominance, from its powers, from its ideologies, and from its filth and perversion. It's not enough for we as Americans to murder and kill our own babies. But now this man just signed into laws to start supporting abortion in other countries and let you taxpayers in the United States pay for it. Kind of perversion and filth that this guy's doing. You haven't seen nothing yet. Just watch and you'll see the son of perdition unveiling before your eyes of the wickedness of America. Obama's not the problem. If you think and I'm telling you that he's the problem going to lead this country into corruption, no. The country's led itself in corruption, and it started in the churches of United States of America when they started ordaining their women and putting them in and esteeming them, and they sit on their television programs with their Jan Crouches and Tammy Faye Bakers and all that filth and perversion, and they get in there and they cry with their makeup running down their face. America should have spoke up and said, get the perversion off of our televisions. They should have started running these evangelist, money-hungry, greedy dogs out of town, and they should have started having enough God and Holy Ghost in them to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort, but they started bringing in the rock and rollers and the sports. The reason this is like when the Oral Roberts, great men of old, that were doing things, and they started basketball teams in their Christian colleges and started stripping off these men called Christians and giving them a basketball to run up and down the court. And when they started compromising holiness and virtue for they could start paying their bills from their big colleges and the things that they built. Those are the reason that America's in the condition it is. The problem starts in the house of God, but it has gone out from there and infiltrated the households, the families, and everything. So if you want to find out where the problem is, we need to look in the mirror and say, God, have mercy. Help us. We've made allowances, we've made compromises, and we let the mind of the world indoctrinate our children because we put them in front of the thing. We call it a babysitter, and it's a television, and we let it pervert our children's minds. We say, well, we're going to use a little bit of understanding with it, make sure that they're watching things that are good and pure and virtuous. Please show it to me. Well, I think it's okay to watch the Discovery Channel and the History Channel. Yeah, I thought so too, and I saw some more perversion on it than anything I've ever seen. They've taken Jesus on the History Channel. They've taken Jesus on the Discovery Channel and they put him married to a harlot. And they made him into a whoremonger is what they've done. Then they've taken in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity, they take and say, oh, we found these new books, the book of Judas. You know, it's another testament. It's another gospel, the gospel of Judas. Oh, we found one of Mary Magdalene. Now we've got a gospel of Mary Magdalene. Now we've got a gospel of Mama Mary. You know, now we've got these other gospels and the world's eating it up and following after. People that said under revelation of Jesus Christ went off and eat into that kind of trash and take it and started teaching it to people. And we don't understand the deceptive powers of Satan. And we want to walk with some kind of an arrogance that we think that we're just so there. And we need to get before God and get before the Lord and say, God, keep me pure. Keep me clean, oh God. Wash me, Lord God. Keep my mind pure. Let me think on you and think on the things that are righteous and virtuous and holy. And we think that we're going to stay pure when we're rambling around in this kind of nonsense and we're eating of these kind of things? How can we be partakers of the mind of sports and the things of the world? All it is perverting our minds and causing us to relax. When there's an enemy called the devil that is there luring to take your soul. Wants to take your soul just like that. And when he does, it's his. When he possesses you in that way. But they bring him into the church now. He's welcome in the churches of America. He's welcome in the Christian gospel music in America. Satan is welcome there. When he's projecting himself and he sings to project himself that he is somebody, all the admiration goes to the flesh and all the admiration goes to man. They esteem man and esteem man. I'll tell you, we're in a dangerous day and hour, brothers and sisters. I hate to preach like this. I'd like to come in here and maybe I'll get the half of Joel Osteen, you know, and say, oh, God loves you. Everything's okay. Oh, he died for you. He shed his blood for you. Oh, everything's all right. You know, he understands that you're a fleshly man. He understands that, you know, are going to fall. And he understands that you're going to stumble in your fleshly lust and filth of your flesh and provisions. But he loves you so much. I like that message. Maybe I ought to preach more of that, Brother Rom. Well, I do preach that. God does love you. And that's why I'm standing here. It was by his mercy, by his grace, by his long suffering. Because when I fell on my face in my ignorance of intellectual conception of him, and I fell on my face, he picked me up and said, I love you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm helping you. But I'm taking you into perfection. Amen. So, I understand the message of mercy and grace and kindness and long suffering, or I wouldn't be standing here. I would have done been gone. He would have done took me out of here. Cast me into eternal damnation. Yeah, my God's real. He's long suffering, patient, gentle, and kind. Amen. But then yet, I'm not going to take that doctrine into lasciviousness and keep expressing weakness. Because in my weakness, he shows his strength. And in my weakness, he shows the demonstration and the power of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And he gave me his Spirit, gave me his power, gave me his glory, that I can walk in power and strength and virtue and righteousness and holiness. That's what will separate you from the world. That's what will set you apart, because you've come out of the world and you are a separate people. Let's sing, Brother Ed. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Let's desire more of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful that he put my sins as far as east is from the west and washed me pure and clean as snow. Amen. Caught me away, hid me away, sealed me in. Hallelujah. Fall in love with him. Fall in love with his Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of virtue. Hallelujah. The Spirit of demonstration of authority and power and long suffering. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I want you to know that I'm standing in the altars of the Most High King right now, saying, God, I want more of you, Lord Jesus. I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Not as a past tense infilling, but I want to stay full of the Spirit, of the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to walk in the demonstration and the authority of your Spirit, Lord God. I want my light to shine, Almighty God. I want it to shine forth to lead people out of darkness of intellectual reasoning, out of the concepts of carnality. Oh, God, help me, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I don't want to esteem myself as somebody great, Lord God, knowing that I'm small, Lord God, and knowing that I want you to show in my weakness the power of the Holy Ghost, the power and strength of your majesty. I want you to demonstrate yourself, Lord God, in my life. Reveal and unveil and show yourself your glory, your power, your strength, Lord God, your love, your kindness. Fill me, Lord God, with the Holy Ghost. Fill me, Almighty God, with your power. Hallelujah. Fill me, Lord God, with the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. Let me walk in the demonstration and the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Fill me, Lord God. Fill me, Lord God. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, Lord God, with your power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you cry out to your God today? When you've been walking in the dryness of carnality, can you cry out and say, oh, God, fill me, Lord God, with the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. Fill me, Lord God. Illuminate me, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cry out to your God. Say, Lord, I want you. I need more of you, Lord God. I want to walk in deeper waters and deeper depths, Lord God. Hallelujah. Call out to him today. Cry out to him today. Say, fill me, Lord God. Get out of your religious rambling, religious wandering. Get out of your vain ideologies and vain deceit. And say, oh, God, let me walk in the mind of Christ, in the pureness and the holiness and the virtue, in the righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She's got the same cry your pastor's got in her heart. I want more of God. She says, I want to be a better mother. Are any other sisters want to be better mothers? Any of you grandmothers want to be a better grandma? Some of you have disgraced your own children and your own grandchildren with your lasciviousness and your foolishness and your idolatry, your fornication, and the perversions of your own flesh. You need to be ashamed of yourself. That you tell your grandchildren that you're a Christian. You need to be ashamed of yourself, some of your mothers, that say, I'm an example of being a mother. Say, wow, Brother Rob. Brothers and sisters, it's time to tighten up and to eradicate darkness in our life. It's time to push away darkness. Start projecting Jesus Christ. Amen. We better start desiring more of God, brothers and sisters. Father God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, as I feel the Holy Ghost, Lord God, as I feel the power, the cleansing power of the Spirit, Lord God, Father God, as I feel that fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, I impart right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that vindicates and purifies and cleanses. I say, Lord God, let this sister come into the mind of Christ that can recognize the mind of the enemy that lurks and lures and tries to come in and use her vocal utterance that tries to destroy and to kill the things of God. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that she could have discernment of the Holy Ghost right now in Jesus' name, that she could discern the thoughts and that she could guard over her mouth. As Satan tries to speak through this sister. Satan, I serve you, notice, in the name of Jesus Christ. I say you cannot utilize this vessel nor speak through it. You cannot bring shame to this household, to this woman. I speak right now the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. And I speak life and virtue and righteousness and holiness. And I say, come forth in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that the well springs of life will come forth, Lord God, in the virtue of holiness and righteousness, Lord God, from the Spirit, not in dress only, but I'm talking about the Spirit of holiness. Thus saith the Lord in the name of Jesus. I say, come forth in the name of Jesus right now. Come forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I call forth the demonstration of love, hallelujah, and power and authority and virtue in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost, that holy fire, amen.
Hallelujah. We read a little bit about the holy fire. America needs the cleansing of some holy fire. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know when that fire runs through you and you feel it going through you into somebody, you know what it does? It cleanses. It strengthens. It washes. It regenerates. Rejuvenates. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get in a closer place with God. I want to walk in heavenly places. I want to start putting away carnal things, worldly desires, worldly lust. Amen. I want to put those things away. You say, you're a preacher. You don't need to be around those things. I say, yay and amen. Pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we could go through this world. We could read its books and read about its things. And we don't even see it. Or somebody else would be offended. You see, spirits project themselves through illustrations, through drawings, through artwork. It projects itself through people, projects itself through so many things. And sometimes because we're so prone to this world and the vibrations of this world and the vain jingles of this world and the realms of this world, the lust of this world, the love of this world, that we're not sensitive to the spirit world. The people in Jesus' day and hour didn't have televisions and radios. They didn't have all those things. They did have a book burning because there was another mind being illuminated through these books, and they found it was necessary to come to the church. And they burned thousands of dollars worth of books. But nowadays, we can't do that, man. We take our stuff and we sell it. Well, this ain't fit for me. I'm going to sell it. It ain't fit for me, so I'm going to sell it to somebody else. Where are we at? Where's our mind? Where's our thoughts? But brothers and sisters, who are you of today? If this mother could examine herself and say, I want to be a better mother, Brother Rob. Is there a mother within the sound of my voice that shouldn't have that same prayer in her heart? Well, I've been a good mother. I've been virtuous. I've been good. And I say, praise God, want more. Desire more. Desire more. I want more of God. I want more of His mind, more of His revelation, more of His understanding, more of His mysteries, more of His love, more of His power, more of His authority. Why? For I could be somebody? No, for He could be everything. I don't want to esteem myself of being anything. I want the Lord to be glorified. He says here, as we read in His Word today, and He asks the Father to give the same glory to us that He had with Him before the world ever was. That's what I want. He asked for it. He promised it. I want it. So what stands for me to get it? Unbelief, doubt, and lust and perversion of the things of this world. When we say the word lust so many times, we always apply it to sexual perversion. And that is probably the most proper descriptive of it in our day and hour, because everything is sold. Cars are sold. Homes are sold. Everything's sold through the perversion, through the perverted powers of lust for women and things. They think they got to strip a woman off, put her out there somewhere to sell an automobile or something, whatever it is. So yes, that pretty much, most of the time, I can understand why your mind goes there, brothers and sisters. But when you have a strong desire for fame, you're lusting for fame. When you're lusting for prestige, when you're lusting for recognition. You see, when you're looking for recognition, you're standing before God and in the way of God, and you've become a stumbling block of offense. You see, you don't seek after recognition. You seek for Him to be recognized in you, and then He'll bring recognition to the Father of you. And you'll be glorified in the Father and in the Son. We're predestinated in Him. He's blessed you this morning. I'm telling you, He's blessed you. Now listen to me. I wished it was so easy that you could come into the church and the preacher lay hands on you and the virtue departs him of the Holy Ghost and we just say, man, the battle's done, it's over. And we could say that by faith in God. But you're going to have to manifest it. There's going to be a travail. There's going to be the same mind that's going to come and try to rob, try to steal, try to kill, try to discourage, and things. And you're going to have to show yourself faithful. You need to be faithful in the house of God. We're not Sunday-going Christians around here. You need to be in church. Sometimes we make excuses not to be in church. Well, this, well, that. You start making excuses and it becomes habit-forming, and pretty soon you're hitting and missing. What if you wasn't here? You'd have missed out. When we get ourselves so elevated in our thoughts and our ideologies that we don't need to be in church, or that we're smarter than everybody that's in church and we don't have to do, it's just a perfect manifestation that we are full of the devil. We could look religious, we could talk religious, we could sound religious, we could say the right things, and we could say that this one said, and this one said, and this one did, and this one did. But what are you doing? Where's the demonstration A Holy Ghost-filled man is a good husband. A Holy Ghost-filled woman is a good wife. A Holy Ghost-filled man is a good father. A Holy Ghost man is a good husband, a good father, and a good son. And when we have these demonstrations and manifestations of rage and anger and all of these kind of things, there is a manifestation, brothers and sisters, of something that's not of God. So what are we looking at? What is our perspective? What is our thoughts? What is our ideas of spirit-filled life? It's demonstration, it's power, it's virtue, it's righteous, it's holy, it's godly, it's clean. And when you see something other than that in your life, ask God to help you. I'm going to say this, and I'm most definitely in closing. I used this as an example with some brethren not many days back. Now listen to me, real close here. So a man comes in, and he comes into the job, and he looks down the grout joints. And he looks at that, and he looks at this. Man, look at that. There's a kicker. Man, look at that. That's cut crooked. Look at this over here. Andy Beachy laid this floor. Man, look at that. Now, I could maybe point out his problems, but he's twice the tile man I am. But sometimes we think because we could see the man's problem that it makes us better than him. It's human nature. I'm telling you. A lot of times they think because they could see and point out someone's problem, it makes them better. Some people do that for self-esteem. Hey, man, I'm spiritual. I know this guy's problems, and I could tell you this. Brother Jonathan has this problem. Brother Dale's got this problem. Brother Ed's got this problem. Brother Troy's got this problem. Brother Andy's got this problem. That makes me more spiritual. No. Is God showing you that you need to look in the mirror more? I heard a brother say this. It was very carnal, man, but I heard the Lord speak through him. I could tell you sometimes I've heard God speak through men that didn't even have God's spirit. You say, surely not. I say, surely so. But the man said, he goes, you know, God showed me that these men and we call brethren and different things around me are mirrors. And God's allowed them to put them before me that I could see myself. You say, wow, you believe that, Brother Rob? Well, if the Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and if I see something that I don't like in a man, then I need to be able to look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, there might be that laying in me. Sometimes I can smell your BO, but I can't smell my own because I've carried it so long. That's the truth. That's a simple illustration, but it's the truth. We've talked about that, gave a service to it, talking about the way the nasal membranes work. But that's so true. Sometimes we could smell the rankness of a man's body odor, but we're so used to our own, we can't smell it. But we're offensive to people because we stink. So we get some Fuller soap, get some Holy Ghost, and we wash and we cleanse. Amen. Well, I was filled with the Holy Ghost in 1919 with speaking in tongues. And I said, yeah, but there are a lot of stench come on you since then. Why don't you find that same old 1919 Holy Ghost and start bathing in it, amen, and stay full of that Holy Ghost, amen. That's what we need to do. Oh, yeah, I ate a good meal last Sunday, man, so we'll just go ahead and skip this Sunday. But brothers and sisters, let's get full of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray for God to fill us. Let's get away of our religious ideology of what the infilling of God's Spirit is. I'm not coming against speaking in tongues. If you've never spoken in tongues, I think you ought to be on your face in these altars every time we open up these altars. And you need to be praying in the Spirit. Or start praying and say, God, I want your Spirit. I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. I want the gifts of God. I want the gift of prophecy. I want the gift of tongues. I want the gift of faith. I want the gifts, Lord God. I want miracles and discerning of spirits in my life, Lord God. Father God, fill me with faith, Lord God. I want the gift of faith. You see, these gifts are for you. When you was a child and you thought daddy had some gifts in the closet, you wanted them. You desired them. And you pressed. That's what we need to be doing. God, I want the gifts of God in my life. I want the gifts. Yes, you should seek after the giver of the gifts and seek after him and he'll grant them to you. But yes, if you haven't prayed in tongues, I say, God, have mercy. Help them, Lord God. Let them find this angelic heavenly language intercessing through their spirit. I desired that gift. And I stayed in the way of it. And one night the Lord woke me up with this heavenly language running through my spirit. And I started speaking it. And it was just started coming forth from my innermost parts. You say, why would I need to speak in tongues, Brother Rob? Because there's sometimes in your intellectual concepts of the way you think God is or what you think you know, there's your spirit crying out inside. And the only utterances that would come to bring a strength to you would be uttering forth in an angelic language. And all of a sudden you find this spirit strengthening you, building up your innermost faith, the Bible says. So yes, you should seek after that. I know we think of tongues and interpretations of tongues, and we start differentiating or breaking down these gifts in different ways. Tongues is for the unbeliever. The spirit of prophecy speaks to you all. I brought you a prophecy the other night, and I read it to you, and I said, this come from another church, but it bears witness with me. But it's something that we've already heard. Why did we already hear it? Because we walk in the spirit of prophecy. I don't have to say, thus saith the Lord to you every time I speak, because I teach you that it's no longer the man speaking, but it's God. What am I saying? Thus saith the Lord. So every time you speak, is it thus saith the Lord? Well, I will say this, that you need to be very careful in what you discern as God and what you discern as man. And yes, I could tell you that I try, when I get behind this sacred desk, to make sure I get out of the way, that I decrease. Yes, I've heard Brother Rob Coon say things from this sacred desk before. I've discerned the difference myself. But make sure when you start discerning what you're throwing out, that you make sure that you're throwing out some mind of a man and not the mind of Christ and the mind of God. Because you might find yourself standing before an angry God. I've done that in my own thought life, and the Lord's rebuked me for it. All right, let's sing All Praise Him, brothers and sisters. We're going to close the service. I love you all and appreciate you. As we sing All Praise Him. I love you and appreciate you. I don't want to talk to you like you're some kind of heathen, but I just want to make sure that we could preach and teach, that you could make sure that you keep denying worldly lust, fleshly gains, admiration to this world, that you can get sure you got your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus Christ, that you could walk with Him and fellowship with Him. Brothers and sisters, change your prayer life. You say, what do you mean, Brother Rob? I mean, turn it on. Turn it up. Pray without ceasing. Start talking to the Lord. Start listening to the Lord. Start finding yourself in fellowship and conversation with Him. Not in conversation with the son of perdition, the adversary. Don't find yourself in conversation with him. Don't find yourself fellowshipping Him. Fellowship Jesus Christ and Him alone. Let Him be your God, your King, your Savior, your one and only true God. Amen. I love y'all and thank you. Lord bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.